Holy Spirit, enkindle the hearts and enlighten the minds of the followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, the name of the talk today is A Model for Sainthood for Members and Associates. During my short talk, during my installation as a delegate here, I said that my vision for the region is to have holiness as our first priority. In the rule, it is the society's foundational aim. Recently, I have been preparing a number of presentations about saints for young people, because knowing a saint makes it for us much easier to know what sainthood is about. In the society, from the very start, the commemoration of saints, both in the assignment and for children who or young people who have done their sacraments, has always been a tradition. We say that a picture is better than a thousand words. And when you have a model, especially a role model, it's worth like a book. It's like the gospel that is incarnated. Therefore, for everybody, knowing saints, knowing the life of saints, makes it for us easier to follow. When I was looking this for young people, I found it hard to find for them saints that lived after the Second World War, when the culture, the Western culture, changed a lot. This is something I've done for them. Therefore, this series of saints was called Saints Are Us. And after some research, I just managed to find a couple of saints. I don't know if you ever, Chiara Badano, if any of you know about this saint, it's quite recent. It appeals to young people because she lived like she died in the 90s, and she was part of the Focolare movement. She was known as Luce. I didn't find many others after that. We did do something about Saint Joseph, Josephine Bakita, but that lived much earlier than that. Something that I think it's really needed, and I think Simone Veil makes a point with this, that the world needs saints, just as a plague-stricken town needs doctors. We need role models, both adults and especially young people. Therefore, since we are called for holiness, it's good to present ourselves some models for holiness. And we are lucky in this, that we do have holy people in the society that lived a saintly life. And today, I would like to present Eugenio Borge, known as JJ, as a model for sainthood within our society. At his workplace, he was known as the saint. And the workshop in which he worked, it was known as the Apostles' Workshop, because several of the first members worked together and they were known for their holy life. At home, Eugenio was held as a very holy man by his brothers, his sisters and nephews and nieces. In the society, he was known for dedicating himself completely for the society, because he was convinced that this was his mission, that this is how God called him to reciprocate his love. He used to say, God started the society so that it strengthens the faith of people. He used to say the faith of the Maltese. We hope and believe it's more than that. Actually, the church started the cause of his canonization. He is in the first of four steps towards canonization, and he's a servant of God. We'll say something about his life, and then I'll be highlighting three of the virtues which he lived to a heroic degree. Therefore, this is a picture of the harbors in Malta, and here he comes from Senglea. Therefore, Eugene Borge is the first lay person in Malta to dedicate himself to evangelization. About 55 years before the Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council, and he is a significant role model for us because he was a full-time worker, unlike Father Preka, who was never employed. Therefore, the Borch family lived in Senglea, Isla, for those who are Maltese, one of the three cities, Senglea, Cospicua, and Victoriosa. His father, Salvatore, was a public, can you see? Yes. Yeah. His father, Salvatore, was a public weyer, and his mom, Carmela, was known in her town for her delicious cooking. They were middle-class family, and Carmela had 11 children. Imagine that, 11 of them. However, four of them died when they were very young. Eugenio was the fourth, and he was followed by his sister, Georgina. Georgina, after taking care of her parents at the age of 45, became a member of the society. Unfortunately, she died during the war when a bomb fell on their house in Balzan. Therefore, they were like refugees in Balzan, and she died there. At the age of 5, the family moved to High Street, Hamrun. Therefore, they moved there because it was closer. This is a picture of how it might have looked like, and a new picture of how it looks like now. This is the parish church in Hamrun. And unlike his three brothers, Ugo Pio, John, and later on Achille, who was younger, Eugene was not keen on his studies. He was an outdoors person. He enjoyed playing in the fields, going playing soccer, going with push bikes out. He attended the elementary school at Hamrun and made friends with Albert and Carmela, who were the brother and sister of Don George, because he lived just a couple of doors on the same street away. His father decided that he would not enter the Lyceum, but should continue the secondary school and then enter the dockyard school, which back then was a very good job. Eugene, on his second try, he came second in the exams, and since he was second, he could choose one of the best trades available back then, and the trade was of a pattern maker. Therefore, they make molds out of wood before casting them in metal. In those days, employment at the dockyard was considered a good and respectable job for middle-class people, even though it offered no guarantee of stability, like jobs nowadays. However, Eugene was lucky. He worked for 41 years and retired at the age of 57 to join the community of internal members. I'd like now to go a bit into just a couple of pictures about his workplace. This is just during the Second World War. These are the dry docks. And this would be a workshop where, similar to Eugene's workshop. And now I'd like to concentrate on three virtues, which in the society we hold very dearly. It's the love and dedication to the society. It's the way how we express our love to God, humility, and meekness. Let's start then first with his dedication to the society. And we'll start about the fervor he had since he was 19 when he met Don George until 81. Therefore, for all these years, he was very zealous towards the society, and he was very dedicated. There was never an occasion where he would miss his duties, both as a member and for most of that time he was also a superior general, who would never miss his duty. And we will see later on that even during his old age, even when he was suffering from several diseases, he was still making his best to attend daily to the activities of the society. One thing that strikes us is when he was young, here you see a picture of him, at night he couldn't sleep. And I'm going just to share with you just a bit of what they felt, these young members. Oh, what a fervor we used to have. I am amazed. I wonder where that fervor of old came from. I only tell you, we could not sleep during the night. Who can tell how often we stay till midnight without being able to sleep? There was nothing physically wrong with us. And he says that his dad used to knock at his door and say, "When are you going to sleep?" Because back then, work started very early in the morning. Therefore, it's not like us watching television till midnight. They had to wake pretty early. Therefore, yes, it's his great zeal for the apostolate. His great zeal is also shown when he, as a young member, he started opening centers. And he was on his own. He started the first center in Bormla. And soon after, he started opening one after each other. He first used to go into villages, start a small group of young people, and then eventually when that got established, he would rent a place and then start that center. One case in point was the center at Floriana, where there was a group of of boys who were very rowdy, very hard. It's like if you're a teacher, you'll have a big, they were quite rough. And it was that he wanted to start a center there. However, he was advised by his assistant not to start it. He said, "You're crazy. Who's going to help you there? Who's going to dare to come with you and face those boys?" He said, "I'll do it on my..." He said, "God will help. Just trusting providence." And yes, he went to start the center. And yes, it was tough. But he never gave up. One day, he recalls that he had this massive headache and he had to cut short the lesson and send everybody home. And even those boys gave him a really hard time. Back then, they showed him during that occasion that they appreciate. And they said, "You're leaving us." And they walked all the way with him, accompanied him to pour the bombs, therefore halfway to his place. Therefore, yes, it was this zeal and this enthusiasm he had and his dedication towards the society that actually got the admiration of other members. And eventually they would join in the center. Eventually he would appoint a superior and then he would move on in order to start some other center. And the center started within a very short time. Yes, Australia benefited from this dedication of Eugene Bourke. Do you know how? How Australia actually, nearly firsthand, actually benefited from that. For 11 years, Jeje was the spiritual director of Maurice Mifsud. He was his spiritual director. And when Maurice first started feeling his call to come to Australia, everybody discouraged him. his parents, his local superior. Jeje, who was his spiritual director, they all discouraged him. Jeje said to him, "What are you doing? You've got a good job." He was a civil servant, a good salary. "You've got a big class of aspirants. Where are you going?" But this Morris kept feeling this, and Father Preka encouraged them, and Father Preka said to them, "If you have just an inkling of a vocation to go to Australia, come to this meeting." But since his spiritual director said to him, "Forget about it," he went to him and said, "What am I doing?" He said, "You listen to the founder. You go." And that's how we had Morris Mifsud being one who was sent here. But Morris remembers one of the advices he gave him, and I've got a quote here. Therefore, this is the way how he used to think in ministry and the way how he was dedicated. Therefore, before he left, he said something along these lines. This is from Morris. "We are too prudent, and when a new opportunity presents itself, we do not trust in God. We take no risk, and we want to find everything ready. We study matters over and over again, and if we find the least shortcoming, we dismiss this opportunity. But God wants us to take risks." Our present Pope, Pope Francis, says something on similar lines. Pope Francis is saying, it's better to try and make a mistake rather than not try anything and never make mistakes. Therefore, this was the enthusiasm and the dedication that they had in the society. We'll continue. His character, I think, Father Preka used to say that character is shown under trial. And how true this was for Eugene Bourges. Because at the age of 45, he was diagnosed with severe diabetes. And he was insulin dependent all his life. He started realizing that his health wasn't as it used to be. However, he never let that put him down. Yes, there were some limitations, like once he joined the members on a long outing and he fainted. And therefore, he was very careful. He was very careful with what he ate. He was very careful with his medication. But still, he always attended the activities of the society. Therefore, he never let anything put him down. Eventually, when he became old and he also started suffering from dementia, it became harder for him. But still, he would go to the meetings at Blat Albaida, but he would do some other meetings otherwhere. and not to actually embarrass him. But yes, his dedication showed his whole life. I'd like now to move on towards his virtue of humility. From the very start, Father Preka singled Eugene as a leader. He was a leader among his peers. Some say that he was also the president of the band club for some short time. But he was a leader before Father Preka actually chose him. The funny thing was about it that after some years that the society started, for the first 4 years, there weren't any leaders in the society, but the need for leaders started being very obvious. Eugene went to speak to his spiritual director and said to him, "I don't want to be the leader of the group. I will never accept that." However, Father Preka then asked him to be the leader, to be the superior general, and he went back to his spiritual director, and the spiritual director said to him, "Do whatever Dunjor says." And from 1911, till the end of his life, he was the superior general. However, there were some incidences in his life that shows his great humility. One of them happened that superiors back then were appointed, the local ones, by the superior general. and the superior general was appointed directly by the founder. Some superiors, which were appointed by the superior general, they weren't up to the mark. And reports started coming to Father Preka saying they're not doing their duty well. Finally, in 1926, Father Preka decided we start a new system. We start a new page, and all superiors are to resign from their post. Imagine. Therefore, he's discussing this with Eugene. And he said to him, do you realize that this applies also for you? Therefore, imagine after 11 years dedicating himself full, like all his time, as a superior general, he has to resign. Eugene, he complied, was a humble person, resigned, only to find that after the elections, he was re-elected again. And when about 176 from 200 votes, he was re-elected again. In 1926, therefore, this is the same year, there was something that, an incident happened that was really humiliating for him personally. It happened that all the members started having this Wednesday meeting, like we're having today, because the founder was very adamant about these meetings. And while he was coming in for the meeting, a member said something to the founder. One of the high superiors in the society was not there. And the founder said, where is he? He is singing in a choir in a chapel close by. And George became furious at that. Before he started, he called Eugene, who was sitting in the front. I don't remember these things, but it seems back then they used to have like a medallion with a ribbon, and they used to have a baton. Do you remember this stuff?
Yes.
Therefore, and I think he used to sit in a special place at the front. He asked him to stand out in front of everybody and ask him, where is that superior? Where is he? And he said in front of everybody, I gave him permission to go to the choir to sing. Are you crazy? I come here, I sacrifice myself to come here and to teach you, and then you give permission for a member. And Father Preka, he had a short temper. I don't know if you know, but Father Preka had a short temper. I think that's why he emphasized a lot meekness and gentleness. First, it was, I think, a personal thing. And he blew his top off. He said, he grabbed from him, imagine, in front of everybody, he took the medallion, he took the baton and gave it to the assistant. And he said, you go. And poor Eugene had to go from his seat. He went to the back, joined the members, and sat quietly there. Like a little lamb. Like a little lamb sitting there quietly. Everybody was dumbfounded. He didn't say one word. That night, Father Preka went to call at his door. Taking back the medallion, taking back the ribbon, taking back the baton. However, it was very humiliating for him. Another time, this was a funny one. One day he was giving the members a lesson, and he said, can you give me proof that God is leading our society? God is leading the society. He was implying, it's not me, but God. And the members didn't get it. And they were giving all sorts of reasons, and they weren't realizing what he was after. And after a while, he said, you're not getting it. And he told them, do you reckon that the society would have achieved so much because of me? He said, it's God that's leading it, because I wouldn't have done all this on my own. Therefore, he had for himself, in front of everybody, he used to say, it's God that's leading, I'm just somebody who's trying to help. Therefore, he never had a big image of himself, and as I said, he was renowned for his humility. We're moving on to the last virtue I'd like to go through today, and that is his meekness, gentleness, readiness to forgive. I think by nature, he was a gentler person. Even though he was a big man, he was a gentler person. And we're going to listen to some things from his life where actually he showed his meekness at an early age. It happened when he started his work at the dockyard. Therefore, he would have been 16, 17. He wouldn't have met the founder yet. He just came to know him, maybe just came to know him. He was getting quite a good salary, even as an apprentice, and the first thing he bought was a push bike. For them, it's like buying your first car. A man buying his car, polishing it, treating it as a baby. Imagine, and riding the push bike to work, and after work, he used to go with his mates for pleasure rides and all that stuff. One day, while he was at work, and it seems he walked to work, he left the bike there, and there was his younger brother, Achille. And guess what he did? It was a big temptation for him, his brother. He took his brother's bike, all polished, all shiny, straight into a wall. Complete write-off. Took it home, his mom. Wow, what are we going to say to your brother? Mom, she knew that she could somehow tackle him. Therefore, she prepared a nice lunch. She was an excellent cook. Dinner, actually, he came from work, had his dinner, and after saying, "Thank you, Mom," she said to him, "The bike." The first thing he said, what do you reckon was the first thing he said? What would you say? Yeah, that's what he said. Was Achille hurt? And she said, just a couple of scratches. He said, then it doesn't really matter if he's okay. Therefore, it shows his gentle nature. It's something that, and he worked on that later on, this virtue. And we can see later on in life that actually there were much more serious things that started happening in the society. Therefore, these were the 1920s. And all of a sudden, the founder received a letter, an anonymous letter, saying that somebody is going to murder the superior general. Therefore, at that threat for the superior general, it seems, by the author of that letter. Founder was very concerned about this. He called him. He said, "Do you have any clue whom it might be? Did you have any arguments recently?" And he said, "Yes, I know, it's the superior of Hamrun." Therefore, imagine the superior of Hamrun, most probably it was him. Therefore, let's listen a bit to the history about this superior of Hamrun, which I'm trying to find the name of. His name was Joseph Kalleya. Joseph Kalleya was like the captain of the soccer team at Hamrun. Therefore, he was known how strong he was, and he was known for his temper. Nobody dared to tackle him in soccer. However, something happened that he decided to quit his soccer career. Imagine, he had like a soccer career. Quit his career and become a member, because back then, you couldn't do both. It's either or. And this energy, this zeal that this Joseph Kalleya had, he channeled it in ministry. And he started giving these talks about Our Lady, who was a very devout person, and he was all preaching about Mary, preparation of that people remained, "Oh, this is a great conversion." Soon after, even the members, they wanted him to be their superior. But soon after, they realized that they made a mistake choosing him as the superior, because he was very strict with them. He was like in soccer. Therefore, this is what we need to do, and it was very strict. And they started complaining to Father Preka, saying, "We can't continue like this." And poor Eugene had to go to him and try to see what was happening. Therefore, he went together with his assistant, and it was like on the first floor where this superior was was teaching there. And Eugene said, "We want to talk to you about these complaints we're having." And the moment that this Joseph Kalleya heard that he was coming there, and about, He blew his top off, and he pushed him, and it happened. I don't know how it happened, but since he was like at the edge of the staircase, that went down the whole staircase. Imagine. He says, I imagined I was flying down the staircase. Luckily, he had just some bruises. He survived. He didn't say anything. He didn't just make a big fuss. He just went out and didn't say anything. However, the founder called him. He said, what's happening here? He said, the founder said, you should go to the police because he wasn't going to do anything. And he had to go to the police to listen to obey the founder. And eventually they had to investigate this thing. And back then there was something called the Corp Bon Ordine. You remember the Corp Bon Ordine? And actually this Kalleja was dismissed from the society. He said, this is unsafe for us. However, Eugene never mentioned his name. He forgave him. And when he heard years later that this Kalleja was dying, he went to visit him. He went to visit him to make sure that he was forgiven. And it's something that really impressed the members later on when they came to know about this incident. Therefore, it's meekness to a heroic degree. It's not just, okay, like I said at the start when it started off, but yes, it's to a heroic degree. And people in his family, they can testify to this. They can testify that all his years, he never started an argument at home. He was always like a person who unites the family, who brings harmony, who when people are getting a bit tense, would crack a joke to just get things cool again. Therefore, yes, he lived meekness to a heroic degree. Just as a conclusion, some encouragement for us, because living a holy life nowadays, it might be a bit more challenging. The culture does not support what we are aiming for. Therefore, encouragement is always good. Encouraging each other rather than putting us down. And please, don't let anybody put you down. Because we know that at least our aim, at least our desire to love God in the work of the society is something that is good. And I'm going to use some words from the same Eugene Bourg about encouragement. I think we can read them quietly. Maybe we finish with a personal prayer, a silent prayer, asking the Lord to give us these virtues, especially of complete dedication, of humility, of meekness, and that we stop with petty excuses, and ask the Lord to help us. Until that day when we shall see him face to face.